So the hour of 9 o'clock having arrived, let me call this public meeting of the Oregon Board of Forestry to order. I want to welcome everybody to this. Obviously, we're in very unusual times, and with that comes new processes for us to navigate through. So just a few tips to help us move through today's meeting. And I want to welcome everybody who is able to participate, whether you're a public member listening in. And by the way, we want to make sure that you know that the presentations will be on the website, so you should be able to follow those along where we have those. To ensure that board members, presenters, and the public listening in can hear these proceedings, I want to ask everybody, as we usually do, to silence their cell phones and limit background noises for the duration of the meeting. I also want to say to members of the public that if you would like to submit written testimony for this meeting and have it included in the record for this meeting, please send those in by May 6th. That will help in the preparation of our board's meeting minutes. Obviously, we're happy to hear from you anytime, but if you want your comments to be part of this meeting, having them by May 6th would be most helpful. Board members and presenters, I want to thank you all for preparing for this meeting in advance. Also want to suggest that when you are not speaking, that you mute yourself on your device. I know just from other meetings I've either been in or witnessed, that's something people forget to do all the time. They forget two things. One is to unmute themselves when they're speaking, and the other is to mute themselves again when they're not. So we'll all work on that. For board members, I want to recommend that we take a roundtable approach for the voting process and Q&A, so that if you have questions, please use the raise hand feature in Zoom. I assume now everybody has been able to identify that. And that means for presenters that we'll do our best to ask questions one at a time. So we'll test this out now. So if you'd unmute yourselves so we can do a roll call. Nils Christofferson.
Here.
Cindy Deacon Williams.
Here.
Joe Justice.
Here.
Dean Kelly. I see you, Jim, and I see you moving. I don't hear you.
I'm here.
Great, thank you. Brenda McComb.
Here.
Mike Rose.
Here.
And I'm Tom Imeson. I'm here. So thank you, everybody. And now we'll move under the consent agenda. Items C and D are information items, so need no approval, but I'd like to ask a motion for approval of the consent items A and B.
So moved.
Second.
And moved and seconded. Any discussion? Then all those in favor, let's just go through the list so that we know we have you. So we'll be doing this with roll call, but Nils.
Aye.
Cindy.
Aye.
Joe.
Aye.
Jim.
Aye.
Brenda.
Aye.
Mike.
Aye.
And I'm I as well, so that motion passes. And we'll also need to approve the minutes. Or those part of the consent item in this case, Hillary? Or do we need a separate motion?
That is correct. They are item A.
Okay, yeah, those were items A and B. Okay, they're both approved. And we have C and D, so we'll now move to the state foresters' comments.
Good morning, folks. It's only been 8 weeks since our last meeting, but it seems a lot longer with all the changes due to the coronavirus pandemic and our response to it. However, I'll start on a positive note. Today is National Administrative Professionals Day. This day provides a welcome moment to recognize the professionalism and positive contribution our skilled administrative staff brings to our daily workings here at the Department of Forestry. I am fortunate to receive exceptional support from Brandy Ritter, who has continued to maintain the high-level performance of our executive support team. Thanks to the team members Megan Enley, Kristen Bader, Crystal Bader, Leanna Dickerson, it's difficult enough to support the exec team, but now it's especially like herding cats with most of us telecommuting most of the time. And a special thanks to Hillary Olivouz-Rood, who provides great board support. And finally, to all ODF administrative staff here in Salem and throughout the districts. We could not do our job without these professionals. So. April is also the time when we prompt the board about their self-evaluation regarding best practices in governance. That was agenda item B. This evaluation informs one of our agency's key performance measures, and Sabrina Perez, administration senior strategy manager, will follow up next week with the survey and an overview of the process. As I described in my emails, we are focusing on protecting the health and safety of our employees while maintaining core business and supporting the state's response to the COVID-19 outbreak. We are providing 15 to 20 incident management teams or IMT members to support the Office of Emergency Management Operations. We are on our third team deployment, and when that is completed, we will get a break to prepare for fire season. ODF's teams have been an integral part of the state response to COVID-19, and they've been doing an incredible job at the Emergency Coordination Center. They showed up at the ECC to help support response efforts, even though it meant leaving their family during a pandemic and increasing their risk of exposure. I greatly admire their dedication to public service. I cannot recall any time since I've been at ODF where all three of our incident management teams have served a full two-week assignment before fire season even starts. In addition, ODF's Doug Graff and Travis Medema and Oregon State Fire Marshals Mariana Ruiz Temple, with assistance from subject matter experts from both agencies, have been working closely with the governor's office on standing up a multi-agency coordination group, or MAC group. This group provides direction and leader's intent to the ECC, which then coordinates statewide response operations based on the MAC group input. We're planning to get them back in May so they can turn their focus to the upcoming fire season. The COVID-19 crisis also creates a unique challenge for our recreation, education, and interpretation program employees. At a time Oregonians need to stay home to save lives, they are also craving to get outdoors and reconnect with nature. While we have closed our Tillamook Forest Center and campgrounds, our forests remain open for dispersed recreation. Our REI staff is monitoring usage to address areas where we see challenges to maintaining social distance. The team's leadership and expertise are developing solutions to issues as they arise and those that we'll face when we get back to full operations. Any questions on that? Great. As we described in our April report to the Joint Ways and Means Committee, we paid off the $25 million state treasury line of credit in March. Our cash reserves declined, but our model projected modest growth over the next couple months. However, we have adjusted these projections due to the economic impacts from the virus response. The impact is occurring in the timber market with mills implementing temporary shutdowns and with a decline in log prices. We project that state forest revenues will decline along with timber price decreases. We also project declines in harvest tax revenue that partially fund private forest administration of the Forest Practice Act. We are also seeing increased expenditures as we support the state's response to COVID-19, as well as in the additional preparation needed for fire season due to the virus. Our model shows that faster than projected collections of accounts receivable are offsetting this impact due to COVID-19, resulting in a better than expected budget position. In consultation with the Chief Financial and Legislative Fiscal Offices, we have submitted a notice of intent for a general fund appropriation and other fund limitation request for a potential May emergency board meeting. There's only about $51 million currently in the emergency fund, and we ask for more than that amount to highlight the reality of our financial situation. It will be up to the legislators to determine where the lines of policy and risk lie in relation to our funding. Monday evening, we received notice of an e-board meeting this Thursday, and the fire season cost is on that agenda. So we should have an answer of some sort after Thursday, and I will follow up by email with you all on that. Our CFO and LFO analysts have been instrumental in sharing our story and needs across their sphere of influence and have truly been partners in this, in our financial efforts. We structured our request the same as our February request. We're asking for $48.4 million in general fund, which is down due to the better collections, of which $27.7 allow us to maintain core business at our current service level. $700,000 to pay for the fire finance consulting contract with MGO, and $20 million for a mild or low-cost fire season. Our second request asked for $92 million in additional general fund to ensure we can conduct firefighting activities in the event of a high-cost 2020 fire season. And then finally, we had an additional request. We asked for $1 million of the special $2 million SPA for shoulder work of seasonal employees. And we did this to cover the extra costs for personal protective equipment, training, and supporting extended attack and IMT efforts required by working in a COVID-19 environment. In addition to the timber market impacts, the COVID-19 crisis and the social distancing measures taken have significantly affected the overall economy and expected state revenue. The state's chief operating officer and chief financial officer have directed agencies to slow non-critical spending, including holding non-critical positions vacant. They expect agencies to delay final spending decisions on non-critical items as the state continues to face this public health crisis. Everyone is waiting for the next revenue forecast, which is May 20th, and more details and guidance on Oregon's share of the Federal CARES Act. Our expectation is that there will be a significant decline in the forecast, and there's uncertainty on how the federal stimulus will offset that decline. We are expecting that all state agencies will need to make mid-biennium adjustments to our current budgets. In developing our strategic response and adjusting our programs to respond to anticipated funding gaps, our primary concern are our employees, our most important asset. We need to maintain core business functions while minimizing potential impacts to current employees. The principles are the same for all of our divisions, but there will be differences in strategies and tactics because the financial drivers and the potential impacts are different by division. I have identified mission critical principles for our work going forward. Our employees come first, and we're trying to minimize the risk for potential layoffs. We continue to protect the health and safety of our employees, their families, and the public. Maintain emergency response capability, fire preparedness, and suppression. And maintain core business functions required to protect, manage, and promote stewardship of Oregon's forest. I have directed Human Resources to post all permanent position recruitments for a minimum of 30 days. This allows more time for applicants to assess each position in the light of COVID-19 and a potential revenue decline, while at the same time creating some additional cost savings. In terms of slowing non-critical spending, we have been doing cost containment since July 19 to help manage the department's cash flow. We have been deferring non-essential services and supply purchases, postponing trainings, and significantly limiting all business-related travel. We will likely continue these cost containment measures throughout the rest of the biennium, but at a minimum, they'll remain in place until we have a clearer picture of the funding impacts from COVID-19. I have asked all division chiefs to work with area directors to develop a strategic plan for financial management to address the projected budget gap, including vacancy management, other cost savings, and opportunities for new funds. The goal is to maintain options and minimize the risk of future layoffs. In order to maintain as many options as possible, we will be implementing some of the vacancy management and other cost-saving measures as soon as possible. And these plans will be coordinated amongst divisions and programs. And again, I'll pause for a moment if there's any questions. Great. Moving on to
Cindy had her hand up.
Cindy?
Yes, hello. I was wondering, I assume we are going to be reimbursed for the cost of the 2 weeks, three incident command teams that are doing work with the COVID-19. Do you have any feel for the time frame of that and how it might affect our cash flow through the summer?
I don't know the time frame. Additional costs is really the overtime associated with those positions. The Emergency Coordination Center picked up, that and per diem, but the hotel rooms that we would normally pay for directly were picked up by the Emergency Coordination Center. So the main cost were overtime and per diem, and we do expect reimbursement, but I don't have a good time frame. And we are monitoring those costs.
I assume that they're going to be picking up the direct salary cost as well, since the work was, sort of billed out, essentially, that they were loaned.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I expect them to pick up all the cost of those people. The difference is the only ones that really have an impact on the cash flow are the additional cost, because those people were employed anyway. Great. Thanks. Moving on to fire season outlook and preparedness. While I'm proud of the work our folks are doing for their fellow Oregonians and know their constant contributions are appreciated throughout state government, fire season is fast approaching, and we have been shifting our focus and resources from COVID-19 response to wildfire preparedness. The department is actively planning how to protect firefighters, their family, and the public from both fire and COVID-19 this fire season. We also need to plan for adequate resources to fight fire, expecting that we will have very limited access to national resources and those from other states. We're also planning for possible reductions in our own firefighting resources due to illness. In terms of the fire season outlook, snowpack is near to above normal in the Northern Cascades and extreme eastern Oregon. the southwest and south central part of the state are below normal. That's 75 to 80% of normal. And snowpack under current conditions is melting faster than normal. For the remainder of the season, I expect a quicker melt out than normal. Drought is problematic. With most of the state dry or in moderate drought, the southwest and north central Oregon are in severe drought, and drought presents the highest correlation to effect on fire season. Long-term forecast through July trends towards drier and warmer than average. All that said, unless we get very little lightning or wet lightning as we head into the summer and throughout the summer, we're looking more and more likely to have an above normal fire season, especially in the southwest, south central part of the state and along the east side of the Cascades. Our southwest district has already had 20 fires since April and is considering going into fire season as early as May 1st. Northwest and northeast Oregon look better and are less likely to have an above normal fire season. While some small-scale wildfires may start before July, the beginning of the above-normal fire starts and acreage burn is most likely to begin in July. As we prepare for the 2020 fire season, the safety of our employees and public remain the top priority. We are developing and implementing measures to mitigate health and safety risks to employees, their families, and the public due to COVID-19. We are basing our actions on COVID-19 guidance from the CDC, OHA, and Oregon OSHA, and best practices and lessons learned from our fire and EMS service partners. ODF and the Forest Protective Association, industry partners, landowners, and contract firefighting resources are collaborating with state and federal agencies to develop a framework for districts to use in building plans that will address their local needs. We will manage these plans at the area level, and the Protection Division and ODF overall will provide the support needed for these efforts to be successful. Fire season preparedness, initial attack response, and extended attack large fire response each have unique risk mitigation needs to address. For starters, our fire manager is working closely with district areas and state leaders to evaluate local fire conditions and consider implementing fire restrictions and area closures earlier than normal to reduce the potential for human-caused fires this spring. We are also working on getting more fire prevention information out into the public in an attempt to reduce the number of human-caused fires on the landscape this fire season. To help ensure our folks stay healthy while preparing for fire season, we are changing the way we deliver firefighting training. Where it's possible to move to online and distance learning, we are relying on those modes. Where in-classroom or hands-on training is required, we're either reducing the number of students to allow for physical distancing or postponing the trainings. The Interagency Wildland Fire School, which normally brings over 100 fire personnel together for a week in Sweet Home in June, has been canceled for this year. We are directing students to alternate sources for that education. We're also waiving the fitness test and wildland fire safety refresher training for those employees who were current as of last year. New employees will complete fitness tests with COVID-19 mitigation measures implemented. In terms of initial attack and extended attack, we're also identifying ways we can keep people healthy throughout the fire season, ensure we have resources we need to protect Oregonians and state resources from wildfires. We're evaluating the feasibility of a variety of COVID-19 risk mitigation efforts for when our employees are in transit, including limiting vehicles to two occupants to allow for appropriate social distancing, assigning employees to a specific vehicle or engine for the entire season, and limiting others' access to those vehicles, treating the crew as a module to limit the number of people with which an individual has to interact, wearing masks while in transit, and establishing and enforcing disinfecting protocols for vehicles. We're also working with the Department of Corrections on safe and efficient firefighter training to prepare our adults in custody to provide fire season support as they do in most fire seasons. Finally, we are developing strategies to mitigate the potential for COVID-19 infection at the fire camps that support large fire incidents. Some of the options we are considering include reducing the number of people at a single camp and providing packaged food instead of using cater provided kitchens. This work is a living process, and as we learn more information, we keep updating our strategies. And with that, are there any questions?
Any questions for Peter at all on this? Any comments from board members? Okay, not seeing any. Thank you, Peter. Do we have the folks who are going to participate in the next agenda item? Are they all now available, or do we need to wait a couple minutes for that?
This is Hillary. Let's go ahead and give a quick 2 minutes for them to join us.
Okay, we'll wait until 9:30 or until you let us know. Thanks.